This morning we're going to continue our series from Acts. Today will be in Acts chapter 8, but we're talking about the whole Bible to the whole world. And this morning we're going to talk about something incredible. I enjoy reading or even watching something that's incredible. I think that's why I like watching sports sometimes, just to see if someone does something that later I can say, wow, look at what they did or what they accomplished. And today we're going to talk about something incredible. We're going to look at something incredible from the Bible in Acts chapter 8. And as we go through this, we're going to see that as far as serving the Lord, as far as taking the gospel to the world, as far as sharing with others Jesus Christ, the one who has saved us, that when we serve God, it's possible to do something incredible, or it's possible to see something incredible take place. You know, it's easy as believers to get discouraged, and sometimes if we're not careful, we can believe that the efforts that we put in for God are in vain, so to speak. We may not see results right away. If you witness to a friend or a family member, you may not see results. That happens. But this morning, I hope and pray that you'll be encouraged by this example in the Bible of Philip and his faith in God and his service to God, his persistence, and how that God is still able to perform something incredible, and how we as believers can either be part of it, or if nothing else, we can see it and watch it. You know, as a pastor, as a church, you know, that's my hope and prayer for this church. It's not that I do something great. It's that God works in this church. And He already has. You're here this morning. If you're saved, that's incredible. God has already worked in your life, in your heart. You're here. You want to grow in the Lord. That's incredible. But the more we see God work, the more exciting it is to see Him work in the lives of friends, family, even people we just meet coming into the church. It's exciting to see how God works in their life, how He opens doors, and how He blesses. And I pray that this will be a church, as we grow, that will be a place where God performs some incredible miracles, and that we are able to see that and be encouraged by that. This morning we're in Acts chapter 8. Notice in verse 5. Acts chapter 8 verse 5, he says there, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those sayings which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery, and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, This man is the great power of God. And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, it says they were baptized, both men and women." We're going to stop there this morning and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You for the blessings that You have given to us. And well, I thank You for this passage and for allowing us to be able to see it and to have it, where we can read it and we can learn from it. And today as we go into this message, Lord, I pray that You'll just, I pray You'll bless the message, Lord. I pray that You open up our hearts to Your Word and help us to just not only be sensitive to the leading and teaching of the Spirit, but also be willing to accept it and to apply it to our life today. And if need be, encouraged or convicted, whatever it may be, I pray that You'll work in our hearts this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give you three thoughts this morning on this passage, on this incredible passage is what I call it, the power for the incredible, if you're taking notes. And first off, I want to talk about the danger for the messenger. We're going to talk about the messenger, and then we're going to talk about the message, as far as the message being delivered, the delivery of the messenger, and then finally, the darkness of the multitude. They sat in darkness. And as we'll see in a minute, the incredible work was that they were given light. And their life was changed from darkness to light because of Jesus Christ. And through the work of Philip, this man who left Jerusalem under a great persecution, but took God with him. And so we're going to start as far as our message this morning, the danger for the messenger. It was a dangerous time. The first four verses of the book of Acts tell us that there was a great persecution and that they were going into the houses and they were taking out believers. And the Apostle Paul says that he wreaked havoc on the church. And his desire was to waste it. So he wasn't talking about just debating with the leaders. His goal was to destroy the church. And he was in the process of doing that until the Lord stopped him, as you can read in the book of Acts chapter 9. But we find Philip living in that time. Right then. He was living when the persecution was the heaviest. People were being taken to prison and some were dying for their faith. You know, this morning it reminds me, of what's taking place across our world. This week and even last week, you've seen there are Christians dying for their faith. Praise God for our freedoms. Thank the Lord that we can meet here this morning. But there are believers that are living in countries where that freedom is not there. And some of them are having to seal their faith with their life. You know, we should pray for them. They're brothers and sisters in Christ who are saved. Let's pray for them. Let's pray that God will continue to give them strength, courage, comfort their families. Let's pray for those believers. You know, we'll be in heaven with them someday. But right now, God has, I guess you say, allowed them to go through the trial, go through the fire. Right now, we have that freedom. So let's use our freedom to glorify God and to praise God. But we find that's the type of time that Philip lived in. Persecution was great. So it was a dangerous time for believers. And Philip lived in this time. And the Bible tells us that Philip, in verse 5, it says that he went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. So he left Jerusalem when the persecution was hot, so to speak. People were after him. And the Bible tells us that he took off. Now, like others, verse 4 says they all scattered. So like others, he left or he escaped the persecution by relocating. But also like everyone else, he took the gospel with him. And he was going to share it with other people. Secondly, as far as the danger for the messenger, I want to point out that this was a dangerous trip. He lived in a dangerous time, but it was also a dangerous trip. I don't know why Philip went to Samaria. I've wondered that as I prepared this message. Why did he go? I know it was God's will, obviously, and I know God led him and directed him. But they scattered, and he went to Samaria. Maybe he was one of those men that just liked to take on a challenge. Maybe you have some here like that today. You just like a challenge. Maybe that was him. Because as we'll see in a minute, Samaria was a challenge. It was an area. It was not the area, I think, that would be ideal to go and start a church. Ideal to go and do God's work. It was an area that would be difficult to work in, but yet that's the way he went. Obviously, God led and God directed because God blessed. But we find that it was a dangerous trip. Now, let me give you some thoughts on Samaria. First, we know that there was a deep hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. There was just a vengeance type of hatred between these two groups. The Jews disliked the Samaritans disliked the Jews. Jews looked down upon the Samaritans thought the Jews were better than, you know, acting better than they should and so forth. And over the years, a hatred evolved. I mean, there was just an animosity there between these two groups. It was to the point where there were three routes from Jerusalem to the northern part of Israel, up in Galilee. The quickest was through Samaria. But there were two that went around, and the Jews wouldn't go through Samaria. Even though it was quick, they'd rather go around Samaria and go down either the Jordan Valley or along the coast and head up towards the northern part of Israel. They remained separate from the Samaritans. They had no dealings with them. They wouldn't trade with them. They wouldn't fellowship with them. Actually, you read in the Bible, and the only Jews really you find with the Samaritans were the lepers. So basically, the only ones that went that direction were the outcasts. Were the ones who went to the area of Samaria. And so for, I guess, Philip to head this direction, we're talking about an area that was difficult. It was a difficult trip. On top of that, because of that, the road to Samaria was not only, it was a windy road through mountainous country, but it was a place of thieves and troublemakers. All along there, their caves were set up. There were turns in the road where people were robbed and mugged and murdered. We find on the road to Samaria. It was a very dangerous trip. Yet, we find that Philip went this direction to take the word of God to him. Now, here's what I think is incredible about this point. Philip took a dangerous trip at a dangerous time to a place he was unwelcome. You know, I think it would have been natural to go home or to go to some friend's house or even start somewhere new. Yet, he went to a place where he knew he probably wouldn't be welcomed or definitely they would look down upon him or wonder what he was doing there. Why would he go to them? But someone had to go. And that's my thought here this morning. Someone had to go. You know, the Bible tells us, Acts chapter 1. Notice what Acts chapter 1 gives us, the Great Commission. And in verse 8, I'll read, these are Jesus' words, his command to the church. He says, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." He says, "You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea." And then notice next, "and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth." You see, someone had to go. You see, when you think about Samaria and the Samaritans, whatever the differences were that they had between the Jews, whatever problems they had with the government, the Bible tells us that they were people and they had souls. And so someone had to go. You see, our theme this year is the whole Bible to the whole world. The church was directed to take the gospel out to everyone. And so we find here that Philip went to the area that was probably one of the most difficult areas to go. But someone had to. You know, this morning, someone has to go. Someone has to tell people about Jesus if they're going to respond. If you're saved here this morning, someone went to you. I don't know if it was your family. I don't know if it was a pastor. I don't know if it was a teacher. I don't know if it was a neighbor. But someone told you about Jesus. Maybe it was when you were in Sunday school as a child. You learned a lesson from a teacher. And afterwards you responded and you trusted in Christ as your Savior. Maybe it was a pastor preached a message and convicted your heart. The Holy Spirit convicted your heart and your Savior. Maybe it was a friend who witnessed to you. Maybe it was a stranger. Maybe you read a gospel tract. You know, I read where someone said, well, you know, I was saved reading a gospel tract. Well, someone printed it, right? Someone left it there. You may not know who it is until you get to heaven. But someone reached out to you in some way. See, someone has to go. And this morning, someone has to go here. What I mean by that is someone has to tell your family about Jesus Christ. I hope and pray your family's saved. And maybe your mom, your dad, your brother, sister, you begin to think outside the and think of the extended family, cousins maybe, uncles, aunts. Someone has to go to them. Someone has to tell them about Jesus so they can be saved. Someone has to go to your co-workers if they're going to be saved. Someone has to go to your neighbors that live in your neighborhood if they're going to be saved. Someone has to go. Why not us? Why not you this morning? You see, that's the challenge that we have in the book of Acts. The whole Bible to the whole world. Going out, taking the gospel. You know what we find with Philip? We really don't find him doing anything extraordinary. We find him just going out and telling people about Jesus, where the Lord took him. And this morning, as a church, that's just what we need to do. We're right here, take the gospel out. You know, we don't choose the times we live in. Philip didn't choose persecution. We don't choose the times we live in, but we choose how we live in those times. And this morning, we are living in 2015. I think about growing up, I enjoyed reading history and looking back at the past. But I'm thankful I live right now. Of course, the technology is nice. It's nice to have that. But I'm thankful I live in 2015. And God has placed you here as well. He didn't misplace you, by the way. God didn't accidentally put you in the wrong generation. He has you exactly where He wanted you. He created you for this time, for this moment. As Esther, as Mordecai challenged Esther, you know, for such a time as this. God put her right there when He needed her, so that way she could bless the people of Israel and be a blessing to them. God has placed you here right now for us to do our work for God and to take the gospel out. So, as believers, let's just follow. As Philip, let's go. Let's tell people about Jesus. So that was the dangerous. It's incredible because it was a dangerous trip at a dangerous time to someone who wasn't interested. But you know, as believers, if there's danger, that's part of it. We just need to serve the Lord. Here's the second thought. How about the delivery of this message? Notice Acts chapter 8. Delivery of this message. It says there in verse 5, he went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. That's all it says about the message, the delivery of the message. Here's some thoughts I'll give. First, we don't have any of the messages. I imagine it was probably more than one message. Now, it may have been one. He may have had one message, but it was more than likely he preached several messages to them or several lessons and shared Christ with them, maybe answered questions for those that were concerned or wanted to know more, and he met with them. But we're not told any of the messages. We're not told any of the outlines. We're not told any of his illustrations. And you know, as pastors, it's important to prepare. But what we are told is that he preached Christ to them. See, that's what's important. He preached Christ. I read where one pastor said, you know, he told a young pastor, he said, you can make a lot of mistakes as a pastor. He goes, I hope you don't, because you can make a lot of mistakes. He goes, but if you preach Christ, he goes, souls can be saved. And when you think about it, that's important. Now, there's a whole lot more to the Bible, but we need to preach Christ. That's where it begins. Jesus Christ. You see, he went to the Samaritans, and the Bible tells us, first off, that he preached to the people. You know, when you think of Philip, he wasn't just passing through. Now, we don't know his heart. We don't know his mind. We find out later in the book of this chapter that God took him out of that area. So maybe his intention from the very beginning was just to pass through as he's going through. But as he went, he began to tell people about Jesus, and God began to work. But you know, what we find with Philip is we find a man who understood that these people needed to hear about Jesus Christ. You see, they would spend eternity somewhere. This morning, you're going to spend eternity somewhere. That depends upon your relationship with Jesus Christ. But you will. Somewhere you'll spend eternity, either in heaven or in hell. And you think about it, that can be said of everyone, not only in this auditorium, but everyone in this city right now. How about everyone in this world? Right now, at this moment, I can say that with confidence, that they will spend eternity somewhere. I don't know where. Some have shared their testimony of salvation, I believe it, so I believe you'll be in heaven. But there are some, I don't know, but they're going to spend eternity somewhere. You know, this morning, I think it's good just to see people as they are. You know, if we're not careful, we can see people from the outside, the appearance, and say, well, this, that. We can make judgments based upon what we see with our eyes. But when we begin to think about them as being souls, having a soul, and that soul going somewhere upon death, that can really work in our heart to share the gospel with them. Hey, they need to hear about Jesus. They need to hear so they can get right with God. And if they don't, that's between them and God. But we need to tell them so they can know and they can make a decision. And it says he preached Christ. Now, he may have looked around the city. I don't know if he took any of the sights in. He probably didn't have a camera. But he didn't take any of the sights in. I mean, he may have looked around. But we do know he preached Christ. We do know that he took the time to tell the people of Jesus. You know, he left the city in fear. When you think of Jerusalem, he left in fear. But he remembered his Savior and the importance of telling others about salvation. Now, to preach Christ, what does it mean to preach Christ this morning? I'm going to give you some thoughts on this. You know, Jesus was his name, is what the Bible tells us. Christ was his title. So when we talk about Jesus, it's good to put them together, Jesus Christ, because that's his title. You see, when you go to the Old Testament, in the New Testament, actually, Christ refers to the promised Messiah of the Old Testament. Basically, when you say Christ, you're saying the Messiah. Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the Son of God. Jesus the one that was promised. So what we find is that when you preach Christ, you're preaching about the Savior, is what you're doing. Now, when you go to the Old Testament, the Messiah was the one that God promised to send to make all things right. Now, that's a good thought in and of itself right there. Jesus Christ was sent to make all things right. Now, of course, he hasn't completed his work. Now, he's completed the work of salvation. Right now, he is standing on the right hand of God the Father, and there he stands on our behalf. He'll stand there forever for us, if you're saved. And at some point, he'll return, establish his kingdom. Bible teaches that at some point, he'll judge. So those works are in the future. But at some point, he will make all things right. Like I said, that's a good thought. Especially living in a world of sin and troubles and difficulties. He'll make all things right. Now, he can make some things right now if he chooses to. You know, there may be a difficulty in your life. Maybe a trouble or trial. You can seek God in prayer. And God may choose to remedy that. He either can fix the situation or allow it to be taken care of in some way or some fashion, or may even just say, I'm going to give you strength to endure it, and he can fix the problem now. But the Bible tells us that he'll fix all things eventually. You see, Jesus was sent to defeat the devil, is what he was sent to do. He was sent to defeat the devil, to overcome sin, which he did with his perfect life. He was sent to conquer death, which he did on the cross, and then later rising from the grave. Also, he was sent to redeem sinners. You know, making all things right. Guess what? He can make our life right too with God. So that way we can fellowship with God. Also, he was sent to execute judgment on those that oppose God. You see, he was sent to make all things right. So to preach Christ, I think it means this. It means to preach that the promised Messiah has been sent. We're not to look for another. Because Jesus has been sent. There's not going to be another Messiah. There's not going to be another Savior. There's no need for it. There's already been the Savior here. So the Messiah has been sent. And we can also preach that he defeated the devil. Oh, he defeated him. He defeated him when he was tempted. Matthew chapter 5 tells us that he was taken out to the wilderness. He was tempted of the devil. And there he overcame the temptation. So he defeated the devil there. Later on the cross, I believe he defeated the devil when he arose from the grave. He defeated him. He beat him completely. Also, he conquered death. We can preach that Jesus Christ has conquered death. You know, because of Jesus Christ, we will live eternally. He has conquered death. You know, yes, we die physically, but the Bible teaches to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's what Paul said. So if you're saved here this morning, when that time comes, guess what? It's not a mystery according to the Bible. You'll just be with God. Now, what all that consists of, I don't know. I'll tell you when I get there. But that's our future. God has taken care of that. So to preach that, or to preach Jesus, means that to preach that the death has been conquered. Also, to preach that there is redemption for sinners. You know, Preaching Jesus Christ means preaching a Savior. We're in need of a Savior. Sinners are, and we need salvation. We need someone to redeem our souls. And that's what preaching Jesus Christ is. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Notice what Peter said. Peter said in Acts chapter 4, and he said this in verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." This morning, to preach Jesus Christ is to preach Him and Him alone. That's it, as far as salvation is concerned. He doesn't need our help to be saved. He has accomplished the work. He just needs our faith. We just need trust in Him. Repent of our sin and believe on Jesus Christ. You know, this morning, I hope you're saved. If you're not, Jesus Christ died for you so you could be saved. He went to that cross so that way sinners could be redeemed. And this morning, I hope and pray you get that settled with Him, that you trust in Christ as your Savior. You know, here's why I think this is incredible. We're talking about the delivery of this message. He preached Jesus Christ, Philip did. But here's why I think this was incredible. And this is the practical for us as far as the whole Bible to the whole world. Philip did not excuse himself from God's work because he was fearful or tired, which he probably was both. He lived in time of great persecution. He made a dangerous trip. You know, I imagine he very easily could have excused himself and said, "You know what? I don't need to see people." Have you ever felt that way before? I don't need to see people. I just want to get away from everybody. He could have excused himself. And nobody probably would have argued with him and said, "Hey, you know what? You're facing a difficult time. You are tired. You're exhausted." Yet we find he went out to these people and he took the gospel to them. You know, that's an encouragement to us. It's a challenge to us. You know, it's easy, if we're not careful, to excuse ourselves from God's work. Just to quit sometimes. You know, some believers have done that. I don't question their salvation. But sometimes we get discouraged. It becomes difficult. And it's easy just to say, "Well, is it worth it?" And some believers just quit. I think that's what happened to Demas. You know, Paul talked about Demas had forsaken him, having loved this present world. I don't think he's calling his salvation into question as much as he's calling all of a sudden his desires. He had served, and all of a sudden he just went back in the world. Maybe he was discouraged. Maybe he was tired. And he just had enough of the difficult life of serving God. You see, it's possible as believers just to excuse ourselves from God's work and to quit. Or to get uninvolved, so to speak. I know that was bad English, but to not be involved in God's work anymore. Just to leave it and leave it behind. You know, this morning, I want to encourage you to continue. That's the example we have here from Philip, is that he continued. Now, those of you that watched football this year, I don't know if you enjoy watching football. I'm going to give you an illustration from football. And if you didn't watch it, I still think the point will come across. Well, the New England Patriots won the Super Bowl. I'm not a big New England Patriot fan at all. But I think this is a good illustration. You know, in the fourth week of the season, they were blown out this year. The score was 41-14. The Kansas City Chiefs blew them out. And everyone questioned that team. There were people saying the quarterback should be gone. The coach should be gone. They had no desire, whatever. The team was worthless. Well, that team held up the trophy a few weeks back, and they won the Super Bowl. To me, I thought that's a wonderful illustration of a group of men who didn't listen to all the critics, who ignored all those that spoke against him. And instead of quitting, instead of getting discouraged, we find a group of men who worked, dedicated themselves to the direction they were going, and in the end, they accomplished something. You see, that's a lesson we can learn as a church. Because I'll tell you this morning, there are going to be difficult times. As a believer, you're going to have some difficult times in your life. As a believer, there are going to be times where you're going to wonder, how's God working? How is He directing? Well, don't quit. Be faithful. God's in control. Also, as a church, there are going to be some difficult times. As we serve the Lord, there are going to be some difficult times. I thank the Lord we don't have the difficulties that some are facing around this world. Right now, we have those freedoms, so let's be faithful and serve the Lord. Also, there's going to be some doubters. There are always going to be people who are going to doubt that God's work can be done. That's just the way it is. There are going to be some who say, "Well, it can't be done," or "It can't be done there." Don't quit. God can work anywhere at any time. Let's be faithful to God. Don't give in. So let's just remain faithful to the task that God has given us. And that task is taking the gospel out to the lost world so people can be saved, so lives can be changed. Here's my third thought this morning. We'll wrap it up with this final thought here. We go back to Acts chapter 8. And I just want to point out some things. Next week we'll continue this series, and we're going to continue looking at the book of Acts chapter 8 next week. But here's what I want you to notice here. It says there, Acts chapter 8, he went on down. Verse 9, But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. We've already read there. It says, to whom will I all give heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. What we find is that the people of Samaria lived in spiritual darkness, is what they did. Now, I'm not talking about literal darkness. The sun came out. They had lamps and candles and everything else, but they had spiritual darkness in their life. They had religion, and they even had some direction from a man, but they did not have the light of God. You know, this morning, that's what's important. Make sure that you're saved, because see, that's the light of God, Jesus Christ. They didn't have that light. And we find here, we're introduced to a man by the name of Simon. Now, there's been a lot of speculation on this man. All that we know for certain is from the Bible. And the Bible tells us there that he basically was, a magician of sorts. And he impressed the people with some abilities that he had and some of his magical powers. The Roman historians speak of men that traveled around the empire, around the kingdom as fortune tellers. And they were, they put on great shows and impressed people. Maybe he was one of those type of men. We have people like that today. And they use television and radio a lot to get out their show, so to speak. And so we have this man here. Now, what we want to notice this morning is that Simon claimed to have the power of God, but he did not point people to God. You know, people can use the correct language and be wrong. Be careful of that. Make sure people are actually pointing to God and that they're doing it with God's word. What we find with Simon is everything he did was for himself. He had no plan to improve their lives. He didn't better their worship. All he did was impress them. Got them excited. Got them worked up. Got them encouraged. And then sent them home and probably brought them back again and impressed them again. And he just kept them motivated. Kept them encouraged. But they weren't better for it. They may have had fun, but they weren't better as far as their life before God. And also, he wanted them to believe that he was divine, so to speak. You see, they saw him as a great one of God, is what they did. He exalted himself before the people. And the Bible tells us that he was accepted. Now, here's what we have, and here's what I want you to think on this morning. We have a group of people sitting in spiritual darkness. Oh, they may have been excited. They may have been entertained. They had all, I guess you say, the fun that they had here with this leader, but they didn't have any real relationship with God. They didn't even know really about God and about Jesus Christ. And then Philip comes into town, and things change. You know, his preaching was different. You know, this morning, here's a reason why to be a witness. Because you may share with someone something different than they've ever heard before. And I'm talking about people that may even be in church, that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, how if they repent of their sin, they can be saved. It's not about their works. It's not about their abilities. It's not about them being in church every Sunday. It's not about them doing this or doing that. It's about them humbling themselves before God, accepting Christ as their Savior, believing on Him in their heart, and they can be saved and have a new life. You see, that's what the Bible teaches. And Philip came into town. He was a different character than this Simon. He wasn't about lifting himself up. He wasn't going to impress these people and then just keep him on a string, so to speak, over and over and over again. He was going to tell them about Jesus Christ. Yes, he performed some miracles. God gave him that power. But those were to point people to Jesus, as we see. You see, those people were, I guess you say, they were attracted by the miracles that he performed. But the Bible tells us and makes it clear they believed on Jesus is what they did. It wasn't the miracles that saved their soul. It was their faith in Jesus Christ. And this morning, it's the same with you. It's faith in Christ that will save the soul. And we find here that Philip's preaching was different. It was not about him. It was about God. See, he preached Christ unto them is what he did. And he began to tell them of Jesus. And it says in verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God, so he began to tell them about the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is about those that are saved in the kingdom. You're saved into it. God will bless you and give you all these blessings. It says there, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. See, they believed and they were baptized. So his preaching was about Christ. It was not for them to admire or to say, what a wonderful preacher, but it was for them to make a decision and to get right with God. You know, as witnesses, that's what it's about. You know, it's not about our ability to talk well. It's not about our ability to have wonderful, people. You can have, we should not want to, offend somebody with our words. But you know, God's not going to say you have to go, every believer has to go and take a class so they know how to speak or do that. God says, be yourself. Let me work through you. And I'll put you where I want you, and I'll take you, and I'll perform the work in your life and bless other people. That's what Philip was. He just went where God took him, and God worked in his life, and God blessed him. You know, here's what's incredible to me on this, and this is what I think is incredible on this last passage. Philip preached to people that I guess you could say were unreachable, speaking worldly. They were strangers to him. You know, for the most part, as we go out and witness, a lot of times we don't think we're going to win a stranger to Christ because we don't know him. They were strangers to him. He didn't know him. And not only were they strangers, but they were consumed by the world, darkness of the world. They were deep in this teaching. I mean, they were following this man. They thought he was some great man. But I'm going to tell you something. The truth of the Bible can change hearts. That's what it is. You know, I'm saved. I thank the Lord for my salvation. And I remember the day when it hit me that I needed to trust in Christ. It wasn't about me, that I was a sinner. And if I remained in my sins, then guess what? I was going to go to hell. I was going to be separated from God forever. And that hit me, that conviction hit me. And I knew I needed to get things right with God. It became real to me. See, that's the power of God's Word. That's the power of witnessing when we share the Word of God and tell people about Jesus Christ. You know, another thought I'll give to you this morning is Philip didn't ridicule these people. You know, it's easy if we're not careful to ridicule, it's easy to ridicule the world for their actions and their behavior and their conduct. He didn't ridicule these people. You know what he did? He reached out to them and shared Jesus Christ with them. You know, this morning as believers, let's not ridicule the world. And here's why I say that. They're lost in sin. Let me give you an illustration on this. Let's just say we take a man and place him, or a woman even, it doesn't matter, take a person and place them in the middle of a forest, an unknown forest to them, without any light. You got cloud covering so they can't see the stars. We put them there in the middle of the night without any light, no flashlight, and we say, you need to get out by dawn. That's the test. You know, it wouldn't be surprising if that person stumbled and fell through the darkness, through the trees, on the rocks, maybe even get lost. Some might even quit and discouragement. You know, we wouldn't ridicule them. Why would you ridicule someone that happened to? You would say, if you'd given them a light, they'd have found their way out. You'd given them a map, they'd have found their way out. You'd given them a GPS and some direction, they'd have got themselves out. Of course they got lost. Of course they stumbled. Of course they went that direction. They had no light. You see, this morning, that's how it is. That's what we need to remember. We're saved. Without Christ, we'd be like that. You know, I'll tell you right now, I don't know where I'd be today without Jesus Christ. I have friends that have went all different directions. Some of them are saved. Some of them remain in their sins, and they've went all different directions. Some are I guess you would call good citizens, and some, I pray for them. I'll just leave it at that. I pray for them. I don't know where I'd be. Chances are I'd be with that group that I'd be praying for. I need prayer. You see, without Christ, we have no direction in life. We don't have that light. And so the world today, it's not, when you look upon someone in the world and you see him living in sin, let's not ridicule him. Now, I'm not saying we condone the sin or we encourage, but let's not ridicule those people. They're probably living the way they think is best. They have no direction from God in their heart. And so they're going the direction they think is best. Really, it should break our hearts that they're living without that spiritual light. And that should encourage us to share the gospel with them, to pray for them. You make, if nothing else, pray for them. Pray that God will work in their heart, that God will, if not you, someone else will be able to share the Word of God with them so they can trust in the Lord as their Savior. You see, Philip became a light in darkness is what he did. He went down into this area of Samaria that was darkened spiritually. You know, as I was preparing this message, I had a thought. I do get those sometimes, a good thought. I don't know if this is good. I'll share it with you. See if you think it's a good thought. I had a thought about how God views the world. You know, the believers, it says, are saved. We have the light. Have you ever looked upon a city at night and you see the lights? I wondered how, when God looks upon this world, when He just sees the lights, those that are saved, I wonder what the world looks like. I imagine there's a lot of darkness. I imagine even in Little Rock, there's probably a lot of darkness in some of the neighborhoods. And it may not be, you know, I'm not talking about physical light, so we're not talking about poor neighborhoods. Every neighborhood, I wonder if there's some neighborhoods that it's just completely dark when God looks upon it. Because there's no saved people there. You see, we're the light. The Bible talks about us being the light to the world. this morning, looking at this church, we're the light. As we go out of this church, we're the light to this world. And for some, you may be the only light they see. You may be the only Christian they come in contact with. You see, that's why it's important just to take the gospel, live a life for Christ. Be willing, be ready to share Jesus with someone else. That's the theme that we're covering for the next, and we'll finish this in a few weeks. Our theme is the whole Bible to the whole world. You know, I was reading a story about a man who was fed up with his job. Maybe someone can relate to that. He was fed up with his job, and it wasn't the work, it was the people. He was just tired of working with the people he was working with. And he met with his pastor, and he sat down with him, and he told him, he basically poured out his heart to his pastor. He said, you know, here's the situation. He goes, they're ungodly. Some oppose God boldly. They have no desire for God. He goes, they're filthy. They talk filthy. He said, they're discouraging. They're vindictive. They're vengeful. He said, they try to ruin my career. And he just went on fine. He just poured his heart out to his pastor. And he said, pastor, I think I'm through. He said, I love my job. I love what I do. He goes, but I just can't handle this anymore. I don't know if I can go on. And he said, what do you think? And his pastor listened to him. And his pastor said, he goes, well, let me ask you a question. He said, where do you place a light? Well, the man looked at the pastor and he said, what does that have to do with anything? And the pastor smiled. He said, please answer the question. And the man said, well, okay. He said, you place a light in darkness. And the pastor looked and said, that may be why God has you there. You're that light to that group. You see, this morning, that may be, I don't know how God is working in your life, where He's taking you, but where you are right now, as far as your career, where you live, God has you where He wants you. And it may be just to be a light to those that are around, whether it's your coworkers or family even, or friends. And as you're looking for a place, maybe some are in the middle of a transition maybe as far as their life, making some decisions, going some different directions. Trust that God will put you where He wants you, where not only you can live, but you can serve Him and be a light. You see, this morning, where we are, we need to be a light, whether that's at work, at school, with family, with friends, or even just going down the street in our neighborhood, going to the store. You're a light for Christ. And we should allow, obviously, our testimony for people to see the Lord through us and in us, but also with our words when we get opportunity to speak. You know, I want to encourage this morning, just be the light that God intended you to be. That's it. You know, God doesn't ask us to do anything extraordinary. You know, I always go think of David and Goliath. That was one of my favorite stories in the Old Testament. But when you really examine that story, David did nothing extra. He had slung that rock out of that sling. I don't know how many times he'd done that his whole life. The Bible tells us he was a shepherd. He protected the sheep, and that's how he did it. And that day he went out and faced Goliath, he did nothing different than he had done thousands of times before. You know what happened? God just made sure that rock hit its mark, is what happened that day. You see, God is just asking us just to, as we live life, as you live, as you go through your week this week, He's asking, or just expecting you just to live for Him. You see, God has put you in your career. He wants you. And if God has put you there, just be faithful to Him. Do your work. Enjoy life. You know, there's nothing wrong with enjoying life. Live unto God. Glorify God. Let people see God in you and through you. And pray for opportunities to be a witness. And when the Lord provides it, be a witness. And share Jesus Christ with people. You know, this morning, this was incredible. But it wasn't impossible. Because with God, all things are possible. If you got someone you're praying for, they can be saved. Don't stop praying for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Continue. You got someone you've been witnessing to, and they keep coming back asking questions. Continue to be an encouragement. Witness to them. You know, sometimes that'll strengthen your faith as well as when you witness to them. Pray and witness. You know, this morning in closing, I hope and pray first off that we all have the light of Christ in our heart. That's where it begins, salvation. But afterwards, the next question is, are you a light in this world? Let's make sure we are a light in this world.